This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. One of the things most men don't look forward to during a physical is the prostate exam. The doctor puts on a glove, you bend over, he reaches in, and he tells you what he feels. And then he does a PSA blood test and gives you a number and then tells you what that number means. But how accurate is all of that in finding a problem and in diagnosing prostate cancer, which is one of the most common types of cancer diagnosed in men? But the majority of us don't know anything about it. Well, here to discuss and explain all of that is Dr. Stephen Lamb, who's director of the Men's Health Center at NYU Medical Center, and one of the co-authors of a new book called Redefining Prostate Cancer, an innovative guide to diagnosis and treatment. Dr. Lamb, welcome to America Weekend.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is obviously an extremely critical, chaotic disorder that all men at some point have to kind of deal with one way or the other. So, having written this book, it's really an opportunity to try to kind of level a playing field and just kind of clarifying some insane issues in this subject.
A couple of years ago, we were told that PSA tests were actually doing more harm than good, and we shouldn't rely on them so much.
Right.
What's your take on that,
okay.
And can you explain why?
Sure. Well, the PSA is actually a blood test, okay? And PSA stands for prostate-specific antigen. It's not specific for cancer. It's more or less specific for the prostate, although to tell you the truth, it's also found in breast cancer tissue. But it's really a male-produced substance, okay? And when the prostate gets bigger, the level of PSA in your blood gets higher. But when a man gets prostate cancer, it does as well. So we have a dilemma. We have a test that is a screening test for prostate cancer, but it's not very specific and it's not very sensitive. And so if I could just summarize in a nutshell what the big problem is, we have 230,000 men every year getting prostate cancer, and there are 30,000 men who die of prostate cancer. The majority of men who get prostate cancer live with it and live very well with it and don't die of it. They die of other diseases, heart disease, whatever. The issue is, how do we target those 30,000 men who are not going to die a very nice death? It's a great disease to live with, not a good disease to die with because of the spread to the bone. So that's the dilemma, and that's why I wrote this book, with Dr. Herb Lepore, who's the chairman of urology at NYU and is a leading prostate cancer specialist, and Dr. Sperling, who is a real specialist in the diagnostic abilities, the MRI to find this disease. So you understand what the dilemma is? So if you say to me, to answer your question about the PSA is a bad test, but it's the only signal we have. And so you need to be judicious in how you use that test. You don't automatically do the test in somebody that you're not going to pursue the diagnosis, and you don't automatically jump to a biopsy because the PSA is elevated. Now you understand the chaos. Right?
Okay, yeah, but I'm curious, if we were having a lot of guys getting positive results from the PSA test.
Yeah, it's bad.
And they were ending up getting chemo.
Yeah, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
It's a mistake. That's all. So as I said, the real dilemma is, how do we target the 30,000 men who are going to die of prostate cancer? And just basically understand that the remainder of the men who have prostate cancer can live very well without specific treatment. That's called watchful waiting, and that's what we kind of define in the book. We describe how we pursue and which men we pursue, how we use a new technique, a new MRI technique, to localize the disease, how we look at the ugliness of the pathology to decide whether or not we should really do nothing, just watch the patient, or whether we should even use some new treatments, which are called local focal treatments, which we actually laser the treatment, the prostate. So this is really why this is such a complicated issue, because all of us, all men, when you get to be about 50, you're going to pay attention to this almond-shaped, structure in your pelvis. So, we got to figure out a way, and this is, by the way, a dilemma not only for the patients, but a horrible dilemma for the doctors. The doctors don't want to be pursuing, unnecessary testing and unnecessary treatments. That's the last thing we want to do. If you're a family doctor, an internist, you have nothing to gain from doing prostate cancer surgery. You understand? So
yeah.
We're trying to create a new roadmap for doctors as well as for patients.
And that new roadmap is really new, because it was just a few years ago. I had a friend who his PSA test came back positive. His doctor said, okay, we got to do something. And, you know, it came down to, okay, you can have radiation, or we can put radioactive seeds in you, or we can do surgery. Now you're saying there's a fourth option, which is, you know what, let's wait and see.
Yeah, that's called watchful waiting. And there's no other cancer that I'm aware of where you can just tell a patient, you do have cancer based on the biopsy, but we're just going to watch you. Now, that doesn't mean we do nothing. It means we do watch you, and we watch you actively to determine whether or not those cells, those prostate cancer, look as though they're becoming more aggressive. Because sometimes you just can't tell. Now, I predict in the next 5 years we're even going to be better at this, because we'll be able to get the genetic makeup of the cancer cells and then know and predict with pretty great assurance whether this is likely to spread or not. And I think that's the real dilemma. So the book really, I think, is a must-read, you know, for guys who are 50. I mean, if you're going to go to the doctor, you better be armed with this information, because you got to decide, one, should you even get tested? I mean, can you imagine we saying that to patients? You've got to decide with your doctor whether you even want to pursue the testing. Okay, and then once you do the testing and you get an abnormality, what is the best treatment for you? I mean, you know, a 55-year-old who's otherwise well, who's just recently been married, you know, where their erectile performance is really important, may have to make a different decision than somebody else.
Why don't I ever hear of a guy in his 20s getting prostate cancer?
Because, first of all, they're not evaluated. You know, the reality is that if we were to actually biopsy guys in their 40s, okay, you know, without a PSA, without anything, no testing, okay, there's going to be a small percentage of these guys who will actually have prostate cancer in their prostate, but the likelihood of this being a problem for 15 years is so low, okay, that, you know, you just kind of, you don't do anything about it. So I think at the, you know, there are men, unfortunately, in their 40s who do die of prostate cancer. It's an unusual group that has very aggressive disease, but nobody is pursuing the guys in their 20s and 30s. You see, the rectal exam, which all of us dislike enormously.
Yeah, why isn't there a better way than that?
Yeah, well, there is a better way. The reality is that the rectal exam, unless it's done by Dr. Lepore, right, or by somebody who really, really is an expert in this, is highly unlikely to find anything. Now, the rectal exam actually is more likely to look to find things in the rectum, like colon cancer, and to look for blood in the stool. So that's important to do the rectal. But in all honesty, it's not to really feel that prostate, because, you know, you're not going to be able to get a lot of information. Now, sometimes, you know, you see a PSA that's really high, and you examine the prostate and you feel a rock hard nodule, then you know pretty much that you got a problem. But the majority of times, you there's no way that you're going to be able to feel a prostate cancer on a rectal exam, you know, other than what I just said to you, the real expert, and the prostate cancers are a little bit more advanced, where you feel, you know, real hardness. Majority of people who get diagnosed, I can't even get diagnosed on a biopsy. You know, they need to have the biopsy done under an ultrasound or an MRI that helps you localize certain nodules. So this is a tricky disease, and it's not about just the PSA or, you know, do it, not do it, what age you should do it. What, you know, I mean, a lot of that stuff is just, it's just hype. You know, the reality is we got 30,000 guys who are dying every year. It's a miserable, it's a second leading cause of cancer death, by the way. Lung cancer is number one. Skin cancer is more common, but it's unusual for skin cancer to kill you unless it's a melanoma. So this is a really important disease, and it's an important disease condition that men who are 50 and older have to deal with, because, you know, their prostates get enlarged, they start having urinary symptoms, they start having erectile issues, they have testosterone issues. It's just something we got to know a little bit about, and that's why we wrote the book.
Is it genetic? If my dad had prostate cancer?
Yeah, that's really great questions. The answer is that if a first-degree relative has it, especially at a younger age, your brother, your father, I mean, you know, it does increase your risks, absolutely. It does, and it doesn't, especially a first-degree relative who gets it at a younger age. You know, if your father gets it at age 80 or gets diagnosed, it's a little less ominous. But, you know, You know, as one prominent doctor said, you know, all men either die of it or with it. Okay, you know, if we do enough biopsies and enough men, you know, when they're older, you're going to find evidence of it. But they don't die of it, you know, and that's really what our mission is, to prevent dying from this nasty, painful disease.
The book is called Redefining Prostate Cancer, An Innovative Guide to Diagnosis and Treatment. Dan Sperling, Herbert Lepore, and Stephen Lamb, the three doctors who wrote this. Thank you so much for joining
me
here today.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity. I wish you the best.
My pleasure. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.